Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Robert Woodson. He was born in Philadelphia, 1937. His father died soon after. Bob and his four siblings were raised by his mother. He dropped out of high school and joined the Air Force in 1954, earned his GED while serving, and then got a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics from Cheney University in 1962, and then a Master's of Social Work from the University of Pennsylvania in 1965. In the 1960s, Bob became active in the civil rights movement and in community development efforts. From 1971 to 1973, he served as the director of the Administration of Justice Division for the National Urban League in New York City, developing strategies for reducing crime and strengthening community institutions. Then from 1974 to 1981, he was a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, where he crystallized his ideas of neighborhood empowerment while directing the Neighborhood Revitalization Project in Washington, D.C. In 1981, armed with a $25,000 grant and the knowledge that he had accumulated from two decades in the civil rights movement about the real problems facing communities across the nation, Bob founded his National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise in Washington, D.C. And as a tribute to its founder and president, the center was rechristened the Woodson Center in 2016. It's actually a joy and an honor for me to welcome our friend, Bob Woodson. I've just gotten to know him this year, but Bob, welcome to the broadcast.
Pleased to be here again. Pleased to be here.
Last time Bob was here, we talked primarily about his relationship with the Lord Jesus and how he had come to faith and how God really transformed his view of the fact that what is most needed in society is what's most needed in individual lives, and that is the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ to transform hearts. So, Bob, it's a joy now to have you come back and talk about some current issues, particularly having to do with how some of the media companies have a narrative that they welcome and other narratives are not so welcome. Talk with us a little bit about what happened in your experience with this film that is a controversial film, but it's a film that needs to be seen. It's called What Killed Michael Brown. Talk with us about that.
I was just delighted to join with my close friend Shelby Steele and his son Eli in the making of this documentary. I spent a day in Ferguson. In fact, I'm sitting on a park bench right across from where the young man was killed. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a chance to just reflect on walking around the community, on reflect on what this means, how far we have declined in America when a young man, 18 years old, who's lived a very troubled life, no one was there for him when his bouts with the law, when he was failing in school, or just his life was a wreck.
Yes.
No, he was ignored. He was a non-person until that fateful day when he confronted and was killed by the police officer. And then all of a sudden, the left chose to martyr him.
Yes.
And use him as an instrument to really denigrate the rich legacy that defines America.
Yes.
He and others around the country, just a handful, they use it. They really weaponized race for the first time and exploited the America's deep concern about racial conflict in America. We are very deeply troubled by our past history of slavery and discrimination. We're troubled by it. And the left knows that and exploited that concern and really weaponized the whole issue of race.
Yes.
And at first, they were, the very fact that Ferguson, there were peaceful demonstrations, and it exploded into violence. Mm-hmm. And it just turned the whole community upside down. But it's very interesting that if this was all done under the pretense of providing social justice for blacks,
yes,
and it ended up hurting the very people that they say they were intending to help. There were 51 rioters arrested in Ferguson. Only one was from Ferguson.
Yeah.
And the black community, low-income black community suffered, and they continue to suffer to this day, while the radical leftist left the city. Now they're in Philadelphia, they're in Portland, Oregon, and they have migrated away from social justice for blacks through burning Bibles in Portland, denigrating the Christian cross as a symbol of white supremacy, and even attacking our war memorials. They have made their intentions quite obvious. They are denigrating the nuclear family as being Eurocentric and therefore racist.
Yeah.
So their agenda is clear now, and it is a really not a fight against social justice or whatnot. It is really evil is what we're fighting against, fundamental evil.
Yes. And it's clear that, as you said, the people that they ostensibly were trying to help were not even on the agenda for them.
Not only that, they were hurting the very people that they're funding. After all, they're, because of the attack on police, there's a call for defunding the police.
Yep.
And as a result, the police are less aggressive in endorsing and enforcing the laws in these low-income communities. And the murder rate, as a result, has shot up in the black community.
Right.
There's a 60% reduction in recruitment of police officers. They're retiring in record numbers.
Yes.
Because a lot of these liberal mayors are not standing behind the police.
Yep.
So the combination is, it's like a tsunami. It's a moral and spiritual tsunami that low-income blacks are suffering with that's been created by this leftist movement to promote anarchy in America.
Absolutely. And that is the goal. Clearly, they want anarchy.
Yes, they do want anarchy.
Now tell me about the film.
The film, What Killed Michael Brown, was to really dissect exactly what the left is doing and how they're exploiting the death of a young man, a very troubled young man, and how they're taking it to try to demonize the entire country.
Yes.
To say that America, because it was founded in slavery, that is incurably racist, and therefore the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are invalid, and that all white people are villains to be punished and all black people are victims to be compensated. So where does that leave us?
Broken.
Broken. And so what we're doing at the Woodson Center in 1776, since they're using as their messengers black Americans, journalists at the 1619 Project at the New York Times, we thought that it was fitting that the messengers to counter that, but also African Americans.
Yes.
So we organized 23 plus scholars around the country, but also activists. And so what we're offering is not a setting up a debate club with them.
Yes.
We want to offer an alternative, aspirational, and inspirational narrative. So what we do, when they say that the problems facing our black Americans today is associated with the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow, we go back into those periods and we show evidence that when whites were at their worst, blacks were at their best.
Yes.
We built railroads. We built whole economic centers. The city of Chicago has 731 Black-owned businesses, 100 million in real estate assets. That's just one neighborhood in one city.
Yes.
So we just celebrate what only in America. America is the only country that had an Emancipation Proclamation that fought yes. a war to end slavery. And America mm-hmm. should be defined not by its birth defect of slavery, but by its promise of freedom and justice for all.
Amen. Amen. Well said, brother. Now, when you shared this, I mean, it's a movie, it's professionally done. It was all set to be on Amazon. Is that right?
Yes. And then Amazon at the last minute pulled the plug on it and said it didn't meet their standards.
Right. They did not specify in what way it fell short. They just said it didn't meet their standards.
Didn't meet their standards. And it was such a pushback and such an outcry that they capitulated within 2 or 3 days.
And they claimed, as I understand it, that that letter saying it had been rejected and so forth was sent by mistake. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. How does a company like Amazon make a mistake like that?
Well, I think there's a shred of truth in it, and that is they realized when they saw the pushback that they had made a mistake.
Yes, now that's true.
Folks, this movie is available for streaming on your TV, computer, tablet, or phone. And it's on Vimeo. So if you want to see it without having to go through Amazon, you can go to Vimeo and it's there. And again, the title is What Killed Michael Brown? Because it wasn't a question of who, it was a question of what killed him. And it wasn't just one simple thing. This guy, as Bob has shared, had a tragic life, a messed up situation, and didn't have anybody to advocate for him.
No.
None of these folks who say they want to help came alongside. None of them were there working in Ferguson, Missouri, trying to help kids. I've heard from, tragically, from a lot of young Black people that Black people are being killed every day, unarmed Black people being killed every day by the police. This happens all the time. And, you know, we're tired of our fellow African Americans being slaughtered at the hands of the police. And I always ask them, take a look at the data. Take a look and tell me, do the research. I'm not going to give them numbers. I ask them to please do the research and come back and tell me how many they're really talking about. And tragically, what they discover is that while every one of these deaths can be described as a sad occasion, there's a lot more Black on Black homicide. And you've got folks who are not at all a part of some fight, children who are being shot just because there were adults firing at someone else. And it happens, that is happening in many parts of this country. And it is not the police who are doing most of the killing. They have killed a handful, which is not okay. I mean, I have, anybody who has listened to me on a regular basis knows that I have spoken out against police brutality. And as I said to a couple of young African-American teens who were very concerned about this issue, I want you to think, how many people do you know personally who've had their life threatened because they were fighting against racism? And the one looked at me and said, I don't know anyone. And the other one said, oh, well, I just read your book. You're talking about you, aren't you? I said, yes. I actually had a group of white people wanting to kill me because of my opposition to racism. And it was serious enough that the chief of police, who was a one-man police force in a small Mississippi town, quit his job, turned in his badge and his keys to the cruiser, so that he would not have to defend me, because he didn't want to put his life on the line to protect me from the white group that wanted me dead. Now, I am no friend to racism, but I am no friend to liars. I hate lies and I love the truth. And I want folks to know the truth. And what Bob is sharing with us is the truth. So I would encourage folks, watch this film. I'm going to be honest, Bob, I haven't seen it yet myself, but I am being honest also when I tell you I'm going to see this film, God willing.
Yeah, let me just add a few numbers. The Washington Post police shooting data, and they are no liberal rag, of the 505 police shootings in 2019, 20 involved victims that were unarmed, and 12 of those carried toy guns. And 96%, in other words, were armed and violent. So you're talking about a handful of people. Each year, Black America suffers a 9/11 every 6 months. That's how many Blacks are killed by other Blacks, 3,500 every 6 months. Wow. That's more and that was killed by the Klan through lynchings in a whole 50-year period. And so when we're talking about proportionality, where should we be devoting our time and energy? It ought to be where the problem is most acute. And it is not with Blacks being killed by unarmed Blacks being killed by white police. That's not
right.
It's not the problem.
Yeah. And no one is defending those times when the police get it wrong. No one's defending that. There isn't anybody anywhere. The police don't defend that.
No.
But the fact is, if you're concerned about justice, if you're concerned about compassion, if you're concerned about giving people an opportunity for success, Black Lives Matter is not the organization to back. And if you want to make a difference that's positive, look at who's having success and look at who is changing lives. And one of the other things that Bob and I haven't mentioned, though I've mentioned it in other contexts, the number one killer of Blacks in America, the number one killer of Blacks in America is not even Black-on-Black crime in the sense that that's usually understood. The number one killer of Blacks in America is abortion. Right. Because the Black community has been targeted by Planned Parenthood. It was from the start. Planned Parenthood has put the majority of their clinics, percentage-wise, in Black and Hispanic communities. Not out of compassion, but because the legacy of the eugenicist Margaret Sanger lives on, trying to limit the number of Black and Hispanic people in our country. That is still the agenda. And it's an embarrassment to the folks at Planned Parenthood. But the evidence has come out to the extent that it's harder and harder for them to not acknowledge it. You would think with all the cancel culture is doing to try and get rid of historic monuments and that sort of thing, that they'd want to be sure and get rid of all traces of Margaret Sanger. But they're not quite ready to do that yet.
No.
Bob, you have said before, you said on this broadcast, that what you saw in community after community was that lives were changed when people came to know Jesus.
Yes.
And ultimately, the hope for our nation, the hope for the Black community, the hope for the white community, the hope for everybody on the planet, the hope is found in Jesus Christ. And if you could speak to our listeners right now and just encourage them to check out not just this movie, but to check out the truth about what can change lives, what would you say?
I would say, look at those who have fallen and find out what picked them up.
Yes.
In my book, The Triumphs of Joseph,
Yes.
And I have a new one called Lessons from the Least of These. It's on sale Excellent. Now at Amazon for pre-order. This is a commercial.
That's okay.
It's on sale. Lessons from the Least of These by Robert Woodson. It's on available for pre-order. But in there, I give example after example that America is a country of second chances, just as mm-hmm. the gospel is a record of redemption.
Amen.
That the real story of Christianity isn't the cross, it's the resurrection. It's not Good Friday, yes. it's Easter Sunday.
Yes.
And none of us should be defined by what we used to be. That's like every time if we read the Apostle Paul, we had to be reminded that he was Saul.
Yes.
And so we should look for resurrection and expect it in the most unlikely places. I happen to be changed my, came to Christ because I witnessed people who were at the very end. They were drug addicts. They'd been in prison for 20 years. Hmm. Prison couldn't change them. Psychiatry couldn't change them. But until they met Christ Jesus, I think as Amen. Pastor Freddie said, that my life didn't change when I called on Aristotle. My life didn't change when I called on the name of Sigmund Freud.
Yes.
But my life was changed when I called on Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And so that's a metaphor for what we should expect.
Yes.
Calling on those academics and psychiatrists won't do it.
Amen. Amen. But Jesus changes everything. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come.
Yeah. And I was on my last presentations, I talked about go look at the old gospels that blacks sang during the times of oppression.
Yes.
Lord, don't move the mountain. Give me the strength to climb. Don't take away the stumbling block. Give me the strength to go around.
Mm-hmm. Or Amen.
One day at a time.
Yes.
Jesus. Show yes. me the stairway that I got to climb.
Yeah.
Just for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. And then my favorite, am going up the rough side of the mountain.
Well, I love the fact that those who embrace the faith found supernatural strength.
Yes.
And they were able to rise above circumstances. And that's not a racial thing. That's a gospel thing.
Absolutely. He said, as the old gospel said, nobody told me the way is going to be easy.
Yes.
But I don't think he brought me this far to leave me.
Amen. Amen. Brother, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I appreciate it. I thank God for your faith and for your example, and I pray that God will continue to bless you and use you and use the movie, What Killed Michael Brown, in order to open a lot of eyes and change a lot of minds and hearts.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Bob. God bless you.
Bless you, too.
In Psalm 145, we read, "One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts." God is pleased when we share his love with the future generations. One meaningful way you can share Yahweh to the next generation is by leaving a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is home and school to children from all over the country who need a safe haven. Please pray about how you might help support these kids and consider joining Legacy 145. Legacy 145 is a growing group of people who see this as a meaningful way to thank God for all they have been blessed with. You can learn more about it by going to wvr.org and click on the link for Legacy 145. Again, find the link for Legacy 145 on our website at wvr.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.